So what have I learned from climbing 14,000-foot mountains about leadership? Stick around as we unbox the answer to this question. I'm Dr. Robert Davis, family life educator and leadership coach. This is my co-host, R.P. Soriano. Soriano attended Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, worked in the financial industry, and was an international consultant before partnering with me to launch Unbox to Lead. Me? Well, I worked for over 20 years as a senior pastor and a community organizer. Then I retired and started a leaders peer support community called Unbox to Lead. Soriano and I have been friends since the early 90s, and with our varied experiences and expertise, we help leaders reach the next level in their leadership. So join us for the next few moments as we unbox the power and the potential of your relationships, your leadership, and your life.
Hello and welcome to the Unbox the Lead podcast. I'm R.P. Soriano with Dr. Robert Davis. Before we get started, we want to make sure and ask that you all like, comment, subscribe, and share this broadcast. And to also want to mention just briefly about our Dynamic Leaders Peer Support community. You can learn more about that. We're going to talk a lot about that, but you can learn more about that by visiting our website, www.unboxtolead.com. So let's dive into our show. Hello and welcome, Robert. Why don't you take a minute and talk to us a little bit about what this show is about? Why in the world are we hosting this show together? Maybe talk a little bit about the format and what the audience can expect.
Oh, it's so good to have you, Rafael, man. It's good to be here together. Yeah, so we, of course, have been doing unboxed broadcasts for a couple of years now. And we have attempted to provide leaders with valuable information that will help to improve them as authentic leaders and to help to set a strong, healthy workplace culture. And we want to continue that with this new format. But as you know, you and I have been working together to create a dynamic leaders peer support community. And I wanted to make sure that as we move forward, that individuals who are watching this get an opportunity to experience both aspects of leadership. That is the becoming more calm, less anxious of a leader, more authentic leadership, as well as the practical nuts and bolts aspect of leadership as well. And so that is why I wanted to make sure that we, and you and I talked about this, we wanted to make sure that we had a broadcast that would accomplish and bring together both aspects of leadership. Now, another thing is that this new format is going to allow us to also bring leaders into our show so that our listeners and our viewers can have an opportunity to see what other leaders are doing in their real life experience, executive directors, C-suite leaders, etc., what they're doing in their various with their various organizations, how they're thinking through problems, how they're coming up with solutions, how they're building their teams, how they're becoming stronger, more authentic leaders. And so this new format allows us to have on guests, allows us to dig deeper into subjects, which is something we want to do. It really does give us a lot of latitude in order to be able to make sure that we're unboxing the power and the potential of leaders.
So when we talk about this new format, and for those of us, those who have been kind of following us for the last couple of years here, this was under the umbrella of Unboxed, and now we are Unboxed to Lead. And so that is what is new about what we're doing. And a big part of what is new is our leaders peer support community. And you mentioned and you touched on that just for a second. I touched on it when we first started the show. But let's talk a little bit more about the leaders peer support community, why this is so important, especially since we're talking about what's new and what we've developed as of late.
So one of the things that I've discovered is that in leadership can be very lonely at times. And one of the things that people need in order to really to grow is to have a support community as they are on this journey. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, about, you know, the journey of leadership in today's broadcast. But, you know, as you're on this journey of leadership, and that is, you know, whether you are a pastor, whether you are the executive director of a nonprofit, whether you are a CEO or CFO of a Fortune 500 company, you know, whatever aspect of leadership that you are in, you know, this is a journey. But one of the things is that I've discovered is that when you're on this journey, it is so beneficial when you have other leaders who are traveling along with you, other leaders who are on this journey. So we wanted to bring leaders together and allow them to support one another as they grow emotionally, as they grow in their leadership skills, and also as they pursue both their professional and life goals. So we've developed this powerful community. You can learn more about it, of course, at unboxtolead.com. We've developed this powerful support, leaders peer support community that provides one-to-one leadership coaching, as well as a dynamic leaders peer support group, as well as webinars and a host and online training and a host of other services that are really designed to help leaders to reach their full potential.
Yeah, I love this whole idea of the leaders peer support community, because I think the kind of the old school way of thinking about leadership is that James Bond or Atomic Blonde complex, right? And that's where one man or one woman will go against all the odds and will save the world or will do something incredible. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what leadership has always kind of been branded as. It's you against the world. It's you against your competition. It's winner take all. It's one person can do it. And I think the what people are realizing is that we are stronger together, and that there is value in leaders working together and sharing their experiences and building each other up instead of looking to kind of claw and tear each other down. There's so much that we can learn from one another as leaders, and this community or this platform does that. The mastermind groups that we've developed, connecting leaders is very important. It's a very important aspect of what we do in the Leaders Peer Support Community, right? It's about how we create this bespoke experience where we get to know the leaders that are a part of our community and are better able to connect them with leaders that can help them in some of their endeavors or where there might be an opportunity to add value. So the idea of bringing everyone together, especially post-pandemic, or, you know, as we're still kind of fully in the throes of the pandemic, it does become important for us to be able to work together, not only for our leadership and our growth as business, but also as we have to, you know, work and family is now, you know, the line is gone. There is no separation between that anymore. I mean, we're seeing how work-life balance is kind of crashing in to each other in a way that it hasn't in the past. And so that brings about a whole new level of stress and a whole new skill set that's required to be able to manage that.
And I want to speak to that just a little bit more. One of the things that I've noticed, you know, in my reading, especially for some of the most dynamic writers on leadership that you're going to find, and I won't be calling any names, but some of the best out there, you know, they all... There's two things that I've observed. Number one, there's a lot of this is what I did to become a successful leader. And the focus is, as you just shared a moment ago, is about on the individual. I believe that we need to shift that paradigm, and we need to begin thinking about this is what we did to become dynamic leaders. The second thing, and everyone that I've ever read always talks about the importance of having a support group, the importance of having others who will help you on this journey. And I remember, you know, one, when I was pastoring, two, when I started off, with my own nonprofit, and I said, who is that support? Who are that other team of leaders? You know, everyone's talking about you need to surround yourself with dynamic people who are going to help you to grow. And that sounds good in writing and in theory, but the challenge is, where do we find that group? How do I find those people that are going to work with me to help me to grow, et cetera? Especially, you know, when you're in an organization, sometimes it can be difficult because the other people may view themselves as your competitor. So how do I form that intimate circle that's going to be a mastermind group to help me to reach my personal and professional goals, as well as to help me to really think through building my organization? Well, we've taken that away. What I mean by that is, we actually provide you with that support group. So rather than you having to go out there and try to figure out, hey, will you mentor me? Hey, will you be my friend? We bring a group of leaders together so that they automatically have that vitally important element that you hear so much about in leadership writing. We provide that for you with the Unboxed Peer Support Community. Again, check us out. It's unboxedtolead.com.
I'm glad we got a chance to talk more about that and to kind of open up on that, on the Leaders Peer Support Community a little bit more. But let's move on to our topic for today. And it's an interesting one. You live and work in the great state of Colorado, specifically in Denver, in the Denver area. And we're going to talk a little bit, have a conversation today about what you've learned about leadership from hiking 14,000 foot mountains. So let's dive in. Why hiking?
Well, because I remember I was sitting at an event and some two guys were talking about climbing 14s. And this is going to go back. I'm going to go back just to the peer support group for just a second. But, you know, two guys were talking about climbing mountains. And I kind of chimed in and said, hey, listen, I've always wanted to climb a 13,000 foot or 14,000. We call them 13ers and 14ers. I've always wanted to climb a 13er or a 14er. Man, you know, is it possible that I can go with you guys? And they're like, oh, yeah, man, give us your number. Man, next time we go out, we're going to take you with us. And da, 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 da. And, you know, just and just never materialized. So I went to the one person who has to be my friend, and that's my teenage son. I pay all the bills, so he has to be my friend. But he and I, man, we started going on hikes together, and we just decided that we would do a 14. And the first one that we did together was Mount Bjørnstad. And really, that's, I think it's like 14,200 feet. Really had a great time, and we've done others. And that's just kind of become our thing. My son and I, that's our thing, climbing 14ers and 13ers together, taking pictures, and just really enjoying the journey. And what I've discovered, Raphael, from walking with my son and just reflecting and thinking, when you're out there in nature, there are long periods where you don't see anyone else. It's just so relaxing. You really get a chance to see the handiwork of God, as you will, you know, as you would. And a lot of things have come to my mind about leadership. And I just want to share that today. I came up with 10 things, Raphael, that I discovered about leadership. And I'm sure there are many more, but I came up with 10 of them. I know we're not going to be able to get through all of them today, but I just want to share as many as we possibly can. And the first thing that I discovered about leadership is, don't rush. It's a long journey. You know, when you are when you're planning to go hiking to climb a 14er, and I, you know, by the way, I keep on saying 14 like it's the greatest thing in the world, Mount Everest, and you'd have to take four 14ers and stack them on top of each other to get to the height of Mount Everest. So those of you who have climbed Mount Everest, who have climbed Mount Denali, who have climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, just bear with me. I'm a city slicker. I'm from Washington, D.C., sea level guy. So going 14,000 feet up is like walking to the moon for me. You know? So just bear with my bragging on this one. I appreciate it. But again, the first thing I learned is, don't rush. It's a long journey. So when you get started out early in the morning, well, that's the first thing. You get up bright and early in the morning and just kind of take a deep breath and realize to yourself, this is going to be a long journey. And how I've related that to leadership is that we have come to this, we're in this microwave generation, Raphael, where we're looking for immediate gratification. And so, you know, as soon as you get into the position, you're expected to know everything about leadership, to be everything to everybody. And one of the things that I just really want to encourage is that it doesn't happen overnight. This is not there's no quick fix out here. This is going to be leadership development. Leadership growth is the work of a lifetime. It's a beautiful journey as you see yourself growing and matriculating through this thing called life. And don't rush it. You know, we think about that when we're working with teenagers and we say, you know, don't try to grow up so fast. Enjoy being young. And they're like, no, you know, if they're 14, they want to push it up to 16. When they're 16, they try to push it to 18. When they're 18, they want to push it to 21. And then once you get, you know, past your 20s, you're like, oh, God, can we turn back the clock? And so I want to say, you know, just for leadership, it's okay. Make your mistakes, do whatever. But it's a journey. And I'm sure, Raphael, that, you know, in your personal experience and in your consulting work, you've had opportunities to help individuals to understand this lifelong journey process. And I know when people come to you, they want help me immediately. And I guess to some degree, that is part of your responsibility as a consultant to help people to come up with immediate results. But also that aspect of the journey is so important.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there are times when your business is being rolled into the ER, right? And yeah. I mean, you've got to get in there, and you've got to, you know, it's triage, and you're just basically, you know, sewing people up and moving things around, and you're basically just trying to keep the business alive. And so there are decisions that you have to make. I think when someone is newly brought on in a less you know, trying situation, when they're moved into leadership and things are calm per se, and you're not necessarily in the emergency room situation, there is still that pressure to make an impact and to make your mark and to want to establish yourself right away with some kind of big thing. So that people know, you know, you're the new top dog around. And I agree. I mean, you know, not rushing is important for a lot of reasons. You need to understand what the capabilities are within the situation that you're in. You know, getting to understand and know the people that you're working with, the people that you are leading, what the capabilities are, what the skill sets are, where the gaps are. Before you start pushing forward and saying, you know, I'm going to change the culture here. We're going to do all of this kind of stuff. And that's great. You know, that's great. You know, I mean, it's fantastic to want to have those ambitions and to want to make that mark.
And let me just jump in here real quick and say this. And a lot of that comes from the pressure that the organization puts on you, whatever organization that is. And please don't forget your thought, but it just made me think about in my pastorate, they always talk about, you know, don't come in and make any big changes. But when you get to the church, your church board, your team of leaders, in most churches, they have what are called elders. These are a small group of people that are kind of helping you to navigate and to guide the church. And they're saying, hey, we need to make these changes. And it's almost like this external pressure to move so fast. And what I want to encourage, and this is, of course, one of the things that Unbox the Lead does so well with leaders, is to help leaders to just take a deep breath, to recognize the external pressures from the organization that's pushing them too fast, and to develop the skill set to have a certain amount of resistance to say, no, I'm going to slow down because I know that this is a journey And I'm not going to allow the external pressures. You know, hey, some churches may have a school that's associated with them. We really need to make some changes at the school. We're losing students. The young people are leaving. The churches and the other. You've got to help save us. Come on, we're dying. And then you're like, okay. Well, we got this program we're going to do. And again, I'm using my, you know, church examples, but it's the same thing no matter where you are. When you come in, you know, we got to do this. We got to do the other. And being able to just take that deep breath and to be able to say, no, we're going to calm down. We're going to go slow. This is a journey. I hope you didn't forget your point, but that just jumped in my mind as you were talking.
Yeah. No, exactly. I mean, there's a couple of things that you know, with that issue, right? You got to know what you're working with. The pressures that you get. Listen, if you're in leadership, if you're a leader, you're there for a reason. You're there for a reason. You're there because you have the capability and you have the skill set to be able to affect some kind of change. Yeah. So no one is going to really put more pressure on you than you're going to put on yourself. I think that's typical of leaders, right? You go in baked with a certain amount of pressure. Yeah. I got to make an impact. And any great leader, whether they are an athlete, whether they are, you know, leading a Fortune 500, whether they're a pastor, regardless, they all are wired that way. Yeah. The most important thing, and I would even add in military leaders and things of this nature, right? The most important thing, though, is you've got to be able to stop and assess what you're working with. If you don't have the right team, if you don't have the right skill sets around you, you have to address that. And a lot of times we'll charge into things and we might even pressure people or part of our team. We might even be pressuring them to move forward on some initiatives that they're not even qualified for, that they don't even have the skill set for. And that creates its own amount of frustration and difficulties. And a lot of times you can end up taking 20 steps back by rushing in than if you were to step back and assess the entire field and what it is you're dealing with and develop maybe more of what is a more capabilities-driven strategy, for example, and say, okay, I want to do this, but this is what I've got to work with. So perhaps I can do some version of that with what I have and then work to upskill my team, manage some of the challenges, relationship challenges that I'm having on my team. You got to be able to assess all of that, or else you'll be diving into something, you know, charging into war. You've got your weapon and you're charging in there. You look back and nobody's there. You know, you say, oh my goodness, I don't have an infantry. I don't have any of the required skill sets that I need to move forward with this kind of invasion. So, you know, I think now is probably a good time to move to the next topic. But I would just say that I agree with you. Don't rush. It is a long journey. Assess what you're working with. Assess the mountain. You know that, hey, I'm dealing with a 14,000 footer. If I was dealing with a 500 footer, I could just race right up this thing. But,
It's a lot. The journey is going to be a lot further. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. You're going to, when you get to the end, if there is such a thing as an end, you really are going to look back and say, wow, that was beautiful. The second thing
let's move on. Yeah, let's move on to this next point, because I do like this other point that you've got here. Don't linger too long or you'll lose momentum. What do you mean by that?
Don't linger too long or you'll lose momentum. And what we mean by that is, as you're going along, I know for me, being a little out of shape, I'm not as out of shape as someone who's in the casket, but I'm very close. So the higher the altitude, the less air that you have. And so what happens is you will find yourself getting tired. You know, I just had a birthday a few days ago.
So happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, man. I'm one day closer to my last day on Earth. And every now and again, I have to take a little break, a little breather. And what I've discovered is if you sit too long, if you take too long of a break, if you linger too long, you end up losing the momentum that you have. And sometimes as leadership, as leaders, we have challenges and crises that come into our sphere. And we need to take a time to decompress, to breathe, to get ourselves together. Again, and I don't want to just keep on talking about it. That's one of the great things about Unbox to Lead is that we actually do provide within the peer support community opportunities for leaders to support each other emotionally. That is so important because no one understands what a leader goes through like a leader. Unfortunately, sometimes as leaders, we sit around too long in that place of healing and recovery, so that we end up losing a lot of the momentum that we've built, a lot of the momentum that we have that we've started. So while I strongly recommend that you take breaks, that, you know, as we talked before, that you don't rush, it's a long journey, et cetera, I strongly recommend that you don't just sit on the sideline too long, because you don't want to get into a place of inertia. You know, a body in motion stays in motion. So get up. And one of the things I recommend to leaders is to be very clear about how long the break is going to be. How long am I going to put aside for my own personal, family, mental, or emotional health? And then when am I going to get back, and how is that going to look? So for me, sometimes what I do is, as I'm traveling up the mountain, I do my 10 breaths. I get to a place, again, the oxygen is getting a little, the air is getting a little thin, oxygen is running a little low. So I say, you know what, I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to take 10 deep breaths, and then I'm going to keep moving. And I count out those 10 deep breaths, and then I start moving again. I get tired again, I take 10 more deep breaths, and I keep moving. So that way, I'm not just sitting and just wearing myself out. Allowing myself to just get too comfortable, because the next thing you'll notice, man, is that you've been there forever. And you've got to keep on moving. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. You've got to keep moving, but it is so important to take those breaks, but just not to just stay there forever.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what I hear you talking about here is resilience, yeah, mindfulness, being aware of when you burn out. I know that's been my experience in leadership. A lot of times it's push, 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 burnout. And then before you know it, so much time, like you said, has passed, because I've got nothing left in the tank, and I'm taking a lot more time than what I expected to recover from that. And it's not just the hard work as well, right? It's a totality of things. It's those shots that you take on the chin, right? It's those unexpected or even unexpected hits that you take that really take a lot out of you. And a lot of times we just don't know what we can and cannot take. We tend to just, you know, just run forward into whatever challenge that it is. And all of a sudden you're hitting all of these walls, and you're not even fully aware of the impact that's taking on you.
Right.
And that's not just professionally. We talk about this a lot at Unbox to Lead. It's also the impact of your family stress as well, and whatever it is that's happening in your family. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not saying stress in the sense of always bad things, right? I'm not saying that, you know, your marriage is on the rocks and all this kind of thing. I'm just talking about your kids being in high school, having to take them to get them to practice, the everyday small stresses that can kind of build up. And before you know it, you're licking your wounds and you don't even know how much time has passed in trying to recover. So, you know, I agree. Don't linger too long or you'll lose your momentum, but you also need to be mindful and aware of the impact that these stresses and these challenges are having on you. And you need to know when to rest. Okay, I need to stop here. I need to take these 10 breaths. And instead of blowing past that, saying, no, I'll be good. I'll take my 10 breaths, you know, the next several miles. And the next thing you know, 10 breaths have turned into 30, and you're sitting down and your head is between your knees. And you're thinking about, well, I probably should just wrap this up and head back down the mountain. So,
and sometimes as leaders, what ends up happening is we are still in at work, but we're kind of going in circles. What I mean by that is we are showing up to the workplace, but the energy and the passion, and you know, we call that burnout, but that energy and that passion is gone. And the and that happens, one, when we don't pace ourselves correctly. I want to say that to leaders. It also happens when we get to one place and we stay there too long. That it is just as challenging to go too fast as it is to stay in one place too long. That brings about burnout as much. So that's why the leader has to have clear benchmarks and goals that they're moving towards and are constantly pushing in that direction. Again, that's why it helps so much to have someone that's coaching with you, so that when you say, okay, I don't know where to go next, you can begin to think with someone who will help you to think through, hey, this is the next logical step. This is where we're moving toward. Let's keep on pushing together. I'm going to move on because, man, we have such great conversations. Let's go to the number three.
Yeah, let's go ahead. All right.
Number three, bring the right supplies. I remember the first time, and I was wondering why I was so out of it. And that is because as I was climbing the mountain, I didn't bring any Gatorade. I didn't bring any Powerade, energy drink. That's the word I was looking for. I didn't bring any energy drink with me. And I had water. And I was like, man, why am I so lethargic? Well, my electrolytes ran out. A second thing I learned, and I also would bring a big, heavy lunch on my first couple of hikes. I brought big, heavy lunches. Well, I found out that the higher the altitude, the less, the more energy and the less your body is able to digest the food. Didn't know that. So I was like, man, why am I so sluggish and so wore out? The second thing is, they are 14ers, but all 14ers are not the same. They have them broke down into classes. And with some of the 14ers, all you need is a good pair of hiking shoes and boom, take off. Sometimes you need the walking poles. Sometimes you need ropes and gloves and other things. So really understand what supplies that you need. And this kind of ties back into what you were saying a moment ago, Raphael, with the last point that we were hitting on. And that goes into when we talk about the right supplies, that is that mindfulness part of being very aware. And I want to talk about it from an emotional perspective, because we all know about leadership. Make sure that you have the right people on the bus and in the right seats on the bus. And we use those type of, you know, cliches and analogies. But I want to talk about just from an emotional perspective here. When we talk about bringing the right supplies, we're talking about from a strictly emotional standpoint, being quite aware. And I know, Raphael, that you deal a lot with and have studied a lot in the area of mindfulness, but being aware of where you are emotionally, being aware of how you are responding and interacting with others on your team, and being conscientious, and I guess that's the word that I love to use, being very thoughtful and conscientious about what you personally need. Too often, and I want to hear your thoughts as well, Raphael, but too often as leaders, we are hyper-focused on what the organization needs, what the team needs, without spending time thinking through what we need. I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts about that as well.
Well, I mean, my idea of, or my philosophy of leadership and my philosophy just in life in general, everything that I do is about being a servant, serving in my family. It doesn't always work out that way, but when you take that full approach of I just want to be here to serve, you are putting yourself in a position to not be served. And you do tend to miss out on what you need in order to be a servant. I've always been this way in every job that I've held. How can I help you? What can I do for you? You know, I'm here for you. You know, I'm here as your, you are my customer. And I really am not accomplishing anything unless I'm taking care of you. Yeah. And a lot of times what ends up happening is you just get pulled in all kinds of directions in every way. And you're not. And then what happens is you become resentful. You become bitter. You start to feel like nobody cares about you, like everyone is selfish. And of course, everyone is going to be selfish. Of course, no one is going to look out for you because you haven't given them any incentive or any reason to look out for you. You've basically set yourself up. I have in the past have set myself up as, don't worry about me. I'm here to take care of you. I'm here to get you across the finish line. I'm here to make sure that you're successful. I'm here to make sure
and that's the culture you live in.
Yeah, I carry all of the burden. Yeah. And no one, that is a myth. You know, that is a myth. There's few people in the world that we idolize in history, whether they are religious leaders or whether they're great teachers, whatever the case may be, that, you know, we say that those are our models. But for us mere mortals, that's just not the way it works. You have to be able to put the onus on others as well to be accountable to your well-being, just as you are accountable to their well-being. If you don't do that, you will just end up being a shell of what you could possibly be.
And let me take that a step further. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head. Oftentimes when you ask a leader, what do you need? The first knee jerk, especially those who are in the helping profession, again, you know, your therapists, your direct service providers of community organizations, et cetera. What do you need? This is the question that you ask. Mm-hmm. And they say, we need more money, need more volunteers. What do you need? Oh man, I need more, I need more support. I need my team to this. What do you need? And that's such a difficult question for leaders to answer sometimes. I know for years, you know, you ask me that question, the first thing I think about is, what do I need to build the organization? Not what do I need for my own personal benefit? So the question is,
some people will say, I need a vacation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll say that starting to think more about self, to focusing
on self. Yeah, yeah. They'll say that jokingly and then move on. But really, that is probably what they need, a vacation.
That's exactly what they need. They need a vacation. They need to have a therapist. They need, you know, whatever it may be. And when you talk about, you know, going on a hike, as they say in airplanes, also with hiking, put the oxygen on yourself first. And then, you know, put it on others. Because if you fall out, we're all, you know, we're in a world of trouble. So I pack all the supplies that everyone else on the trip needs, but I don't pack what I personally need, then, you know, you're going to be in a world of trouble. My son can climb those mountains without any Gatorade or anything else. And I'm like, man, how do you do that? But I need, you know, so the question then becomes, what do I need to get to the top of this journey, personally, becoming very intentional and focused on self?
Well, I think that brings us to our fourth lesson here. Take scheduled breaks to regather yourself.
Yeah, and then we talked about not sitting around too long, but not walking too long either. You know, we a moment ago we talked about inertia, and then another time, this time we're talking about, you know, damaging yourself, listening to your body. And this is very important, listening to your body. And I'm talking about not just in physical exercise. I'm talking about in emotional exercise. I'm not just talking about when you're doing manual labor. I'm talking about when you're also doing mental labor, listening to your body. You know, when you're getting headaches, when you're having all of that tension in your shoulders, you know, listening to your body is telling you that something is going on, and taking those scheduled breaks to listen to your body. I know one of the things, Raphael, that I've admired about you is meditation. Matter of fact, being a Christian minister, I was so afraid of meditation. And I think it's just that our friendship and the fact that I trust you and know that you would not try to convince me to do something that was against my religious beliefs, that even allowed me to start reading about what meditation is. And meditation, and I'm going to turn it over to you, but meditation, man, has helped me to really scan my body, has really helped me to get to a place where I can see what is going on internally. And so I want to just say to everybody how much I appreciate you introducing me to that, because, you know, again, being a Christian minister, we're so afraid of some of these other concepts. Oh boy, that's I'm scared of that. But that has been such a benefit to become in tune, to become focused on what is going on internally.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we're just not taught about as we grow up, how to manage our emotions and what emotions are. I mean, you think about this for a second. Think about this, about as men, how we grow up as boys, what we're taught about emotions. We are taught not to be emotional. We're taught to suck it up, put some dirt on it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't cry, don't do any of these things. And yet, men are far more emotional than our counterparts are. You think about the crimes that are committed in the world, the crimes of emotion. Mm. It's men that are creating them. I mean, we're the ones who are going out mowing people down, stabbing people to death, killing our wives. You know, these
beating
are the things.
Beating some stranger at a bar because he bumped into you.
That's right. I mean, we're the ones who are extremely emotional. And we're taught not to be emotional or to tuck them away and to not be and we basically have just grown up not aware of our body-mind complex and how this all works. Of all the things that we should know, that we should be experts in how it works, it's not automobiles and mechanics and things like, it should be our own mind and body. I mean, this is what we spend all of our time with. We should know the way that our thoughts are operating. We should know the way that the connection between our thoughts and our feelings and the things that we're thinking and how it causes may cause our heart to, you know, start beating fast and the anger or the whatever it is, whatever emotion is that our, you know, that we're creating from our thought worlds. We should be aware of all of that. That's just not taught as we're growing up, and at least in Western culture. In other cultures, there is a lot more contemplative being with yourself, you know, being in a calming and relaxing situation, following your breath, learning how to focus and concentrate. So in some cultures, that's a lot more. That is kind of taught, but in Western culture, it's really not. It's and we miss that. And what happens is that we don't understand. We don't want to take breaks. We don't want to schedule them, and we just blow past all the stop signs. This is why in our country, so many people die from diseases that can be prevented. You know, we wouldn't have, you know, a lot of the challenges with, you know, heart disease and all these kinds of things that we struggle with. A lot of this is stress induced, you know, diet and stress induced, and it can be solved without medication. But we have to learn how to be aware and mindful of our body mind complex so we know how to pace ourselves. I mean, I've started to become more comfortable and familiar with my body, even when I'm working. I know when 15 minutes has passed, when I've been sitting down. I know it. My body tells me it's been 15 minutes. You need to stand up. You need to walk around. You need to, you know, get some air. You can't just, sometimes I can get in the zone at work and I can go clear an hour or two and be okay. And there are other times when my body is saying, this is it. You're getting ready to hit the wall. proceed at your own risk. Right. You need to get up and you need to change what's happening. And so it does become important to be able to listen and understand that.
And you can't hear what your body is saying until you are intentional about just listening to what your body is saying. And I want to encourage anyone to go on to Audible or wherever and get yourself, guided meditations. You can actually get some on your own. You can go to YouTube and just get some guided.
Yeah, meditation. There's plenty of tools out there. You know, it's one reason why I don't, my wife and I got a personal trainer. And I remember when he came to our house, I asked him, hey, can I put a playlist together? Can I listen to some music? So we could power through this stuff. And he said, I would rather you didn't. And the reason why is because I need you to be paying attention to your body. I need you to know the exercises. I need you to know what your body is feeling like so that you can start to build the reps and understand if you're doing it correctly when I'm not around. And what it's really led to is I don't exercise with music anymore. One of the reasons, for a couple of reasons, I want to avoid injury. Because if I've got the right song playing, I'm just going to blow past, and push even further than what I probably should be doing. Instead of doing 10 reps, I'm doing 50. And the next thing you know, I can't feel a body part or something. Yeah. Also, I need to be able to experience my body. There's this tendency to want to just shut that out. I don't want to feel what's going on in my feet. I don't want to feel what's going on in my abs. I don't want to feel what's going on. But the more I work out and exercise without the music, the more I become aware of, okay, I got to stop. Or I'm not doing this correctly because I've been paying attention to my body. So I'll leave it there. But that's something that I think is important, is we find ways to tune out our body. We're always looking for some kind of distraction when we really should be tuning into our body, diving as much into it as possible.
So I just encourage you to go to YouTube or whatever and search for guided breath meditations. And all that is just learning to focus on your breathing. Guided body scan meditations. Guided body scan meditations.
And we'll be doing. We'll be offering some of those things as well. Yeah. Through Unbox to Lead in the future.
Yes, and that is so important. And again, as part of our community, we try to provide a comprehensive, holistic approach. I'm going to hit this last one. We're going to do it fast because I think it's self-explanatory. It's easier to come down than it is to go up. One of the things I discovered, man, in mountain climbing is, man, it is brutal working your way up to the top of the mountain. And even though the air is still the same thinness as it is, when you start the descent, it just is so much easier. Gravity naturally pulls you down. And so as leaders, we have to be hyper-focused on how we're moving towards the top, because gravity will cause you to come down. Before you know it, you will be halfway down the mountain. And I'm saying this, as a way of illustrating the importance of moving up, the importance of progressing towards our goals, our individual and professional goals, our family goals. A lot of times we don't talk about that. We have our professional goals, where we want to be. Where do you want your family to be? And thinking about moving in that direction, because when you start going back, reverting back to what you've always done, it is so much easier than actually pushing toward that new you that is so dynamic, that is the you that you want to be. I wanted to save that one because that one was a short one. I'm gonna recap the five. Don't rush it. It's a long journey.
Do you mind if I offer just one little point about that?
Please.
I think you've hit on something very, very important here, and how even when you've developed a new skill, it's you know, when the pressure is right, there is a tendency to revert back to your old behaviors. But there's another point that I want to address on that, in that when we, as we're going up the mountain, you know, the idea with going up the mountain is dealing with challenges, dealing with the hard stuff. And as leaders, especially when it comes to relationship issues, you know, relationship dynamics at work, for instance, It can be easier to think about going down than it is to go up. So for instance, if you've got a toxic situation at work where you've got that one person who is just making everybody's life miserable, you know, You feel like, I want to be more conflict averse, or you tend to be conflict averse, or you just don't want to confront this thing. You just don't want to think about it. Like, you just wish this person would just magically either go away or somehow the situation would resolve itself. There's a tendency to just take the easy path, or what feels like the easy path of going down the mountain. While you may have that one person or group of individuals who are basically just holding everything up. Or it could be a big challenge, where the organization is going. You know, you're trying to do X, Y, and Z. Maybe it's dealing with your competitor. Maybe it's trying to find another stream, revenue stream, whatever the case may be. And you keep hitting this wall, and it feels easier to just stick your head in the sand or just head downhill, because it's just easier to go that route. And it just feels easier. And you might even revisit some of the accomplishments, you know, that you made on your way down.
Yeah.
And feel like, hey, I'm starting to think about yesteryear and the things that I did and what I've done. And you start building all of that up in your head. Meanwhile, you know, you're just not making any progress. So it is easier to go down than it is to go up. And I just thought about that when I saw that point, and thought, you know, that may speak to a lot of times how we may be hesitant to grab the bull by the horns. How do I deal with this toxic individual? How do I deal with this incredible issue that I've got to, you know, this challenge that the organization is having? It'd just be easier if I just slide on down, as opposed to keep pushing forward. And pushing forward, you know, that's why all of these other things are important. We've talked about having the right equipment, about knowing when to take breaks, about, you know, thinking about what's right for you. Because you got to be able to have all of that in place in order to push up.
Man, this has been an awesome conversation, and we want to come back with part two. Again, I'm going to just recap very quickly. Don't rush. It's a long journey. Number two, don't linger too long or you'll lose momentum. Number three, bring the right supplies. Number four, take scheduled breaks to regather yourself. And number five, it's easier to come down than it is to go up. Listen, I want to thank each of you for joining us today. We're so excited. Please make sure that you check us out at unboxtolead.com. And we're going to look forward to seeing you the next time as we continue our journey together with these, what I've learned from climbing 14,000 foot mountains. I can't wait to see you then. Thank you again, Raphael. And thank each one of you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Unbox provides a full-service leaders peer support community that helps high-level leaders become more authentic leaders who build healthy workplace cultures and reach their personal life goals. To learn more and discover how we can take your leadership and your life to the next level, please visit our website at unboxtolead.com. That's unboxed, the number two, lead.com. Again, that's unboxed, the number two, to lead.com.